Asking was like, okay, you've written them down already,
yeah,
like serially,
yeah.
First thing, maybe you threw it in,
mm-hmm.
Then you now say, what do you think about it?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just do a mock for before you start recording.
Maybe no, I can always edit it out,
all right.
So, yeah, I'm listening. You could do a mock
maybe for like 2-3 minutes, so yeah. We'll just see.
What was the first thing we talked about? Okay, looking back, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's going to be something like this. Sorry.
But record is still though, because sometimes your mock is even better.
Then the...
God bless you.
And with the first
time. Because you're more natural when you're doing mock.
All right, are we ready?
Yeah.
Please, your phones on silent. Thank you. Okay. Hi guys, so this is the Absalam Abubakar podcast, and we officially welcome you to the Abubakar Absalam podcast. Here we'll be giving you juicy details, you know, things that are happening in the Abubakar Absalam Hall in the University of Ibadan Postgraduate Hall. Now, my name is Calista Adebayo, and I am not here alone. Yeah, as I said before, we are members of the press, and yes, I definitely cannot stand alone because a tree does not make a forest. So with me here, I have some amazing people who will be introducing themselves as soon as I give them the opportunity to. They'll tell us their names, and they'll tell us their pen names, and then we'll pick it up from there. So, hi, good morning.
Okay, my name is Oyemi Kiewe-Komi, and my pen name is Flemi Ben.
Okay, so what we were supposed to do is... Okay, so I remember that I introduced myself with my name. I think I will change that in our next recording. We're supposed to introduce... I thought about it based on kind of things we want to talk about. Let's just stick to our pen names.
Okay.
You get for security reasons and so that they won't harass us. No, it's not just here.
It is.
Anybody A-H, could hear
they,
it.
They would always know because it's AH Press Club, so
yes.
They won't.
Yeah.
But won't say anything that derogatory. Won't say anything that's
that and I still can't.
I feel like it's just our pen names. Yeah.
Right.
So okay. So, hi. Good morning.
Morning. I'm Flemi Ben.
Hello, good morning. I am Conscience.
All right, so with me, I have Flamey Pen and Conscience, and you're officially live at the AH Press. Today, we're talking about, you know, remarkable moments in history in the Abubakar Absalam War, especially from the year 2020 to 2021 session. Currently, we're in the 2021/2022 session. So we'll tell you all the juicy details that happened between then and now. But then, you know, looking back, I feel like when I got into Abubakar Absalam Hall, I don't know about you guys, but then when I got back into Abubakar Absalam Hall, you know, it was strange, especially for me because I never lived in a hostel before, like school hostel, having a roommate and everything, and then mixing with so many people. And then it was weird also knowing that, oh, it was a mixed hostel. We had guys around and everything, so I felt it took a while to adjust, but then it's been a fun ride ever since. And then meeting up with the Abubakar Absalam past friends, you know, the previous press members, and then before we're handed over to. So, you know, we've had quite a number of remarkable events from ranging from the dinner, you know, the election, the orphanage tour, and amongst other things. But for me, I feel like the one that stood out was the orphanage tour. The fact that we could go out and reach out in our, you know, numbers to reach out to poor kids and, you know, spend time with them, have fun with them, play games. I feel for me that is still like the most remarkable moment I've had in Abubakar Absalam Hall. I want to hear from Flaming Pen. What was your most remarkable moment or event in this hall?
Okay, thank you. For me, it was during the election time. Mm-hmm. As we have up to like 3 people contesting for the post of the all governor, and everybody was just trying to pulled their stone and they just wanted to become the old governor. And to me, I was like, who was going to win these elections? And in the end, we will add some gist about some people lying about what they are not supposed to be, telling us they are this, they are that. And in the long run, we are that they are all lies. And in the long run, we had our governor.
Yes.
That's so funny. It's really so funny. And funny enough, I guess the person that won was not even the person people were thinking we actually going to.
Yeah, that was a
joke. It was more like a joker. Yeah, so it's all really fun and all of that. And I guess for every other post, we are like just one people. So I feel like the whole picture of the whole election was just the old governor. Everybody was just interested in the old governor. Every other people just came there. So far it's been a sweet ride in AAH. Thank you.
Okay, so Conscience, what was your most remarkable moment in Absalom Abaka?
Well, I want to say that it's a remarkable moment. It was a remarkable moment, it is a remarkable moment, and it's continuously been, or it's a continuous remarkable moment. I wouldn't even want to say it's a moment, it's the people in Abdusalam Abubakar Hall.
Let's include the stuff. Who edit it out?
What did you give us a pen name?
Mine?
Yes.
Duchess.
What is Duchess you called?
I called my name, but just Duchess.
No,
she has not mentioned it.
I've not mentioned any. I mentioned my name. Yeah.
I thought I heard her pen name just now.
Flaming Pen.
No, I know Flaming Pen.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you mentioned your pen name.
Yeah. Your pen name,
should I say,
because
we
only be relating with pen names.
I-E-I.
Okay, hold on.
I had you pronounce just I-E-I word. Yeah.
So just in case we want to relate with each other here,
okay.
This is Flaming Pen, Conscience Duchess I-E-I, okay?
All right,
so.
Yeah, so like I said, the people in AAH are exceptionally wonderful people. So in AAH, we meet the good, the bad, the ugly, and the most beautiful people. Your roommates, your floormates, your blockmates, the hallites, everybody is just on a different lane on their own. So you, as a hallite, you need to understand how to relate with them, how to have continuous interaction with them. So you need to learn patience, you need to learn kindness, you need to learn how to be firm, you need to learn how to be strong sometimes too. And especially the viewing centers, which are the common rooms, sometimes arguments can break out, especially during an important match. Sometimes people go there to play games. You meet a whole lot of people, and over time I've learned to connect, I've learned to, you know, relate, I've learned to, you know, continue that relationship. And most importantly, I am of the view that, you know, AAH is not just a place where we meet ourselves and we don't meet again. It's a place where we will meet even in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. We could meet in London, we could meet in Canada, we could meet in South Africa.
And
we
could meet the AAH wedding.
Exactly. So there could be an AAH wedding, who knows, so in the nearest future. So it's actually a breeding ground for connecting and meeting new friends. So that's like one of the, you know, memorable experience and moments, and it's a continuous thing that I've been experiencing.
So for you, what remarkable moment stood out in your time in Abaka Absalom?
One of the most explorable moment is the fact that I got to meet a whole lot of people. You know, before now, I kind of more like reserved, but to some extent now, I've met a lot of people, you know, from different background, ethnicity, a different point of view. People have a whole lot of opinions about things. And I tend to look at it from different ways and to look the way they think and the way they reason. And as much as possible, I tend to observe that, well, there are actually a lot of things to learn from. and to the fact that I've evolved as well, you know, in terms of games, I kind of more used to playing table tennis, but these days, you know, coming out to play football, it's kind of weird. A lot of people see me and be like, how come you get to this and that? And the fact that, you know, meeting a whole lot of persons watching football and, you know, meeting everyone day by day, it was a bit weird to some extent because I wasn't used to a whole lot of social life before, but this was a different environment entirely. And just like Conscience said, it's a place of love which I experienced, and as well, it's a good place to be for your postgraduate study. It is one of the best places.
Yeah. So you talked about love, and I feel like I think we could all agree on this. One of the most remarkable events that took place, or well, continuously happened in a just was the, you know, sporting activities, because there was everything for everyone, no matter you know, if you could play board games, if you couldn't play, you know, actual games, maybe like tennis, volleyball, football, you could do play something that. You could even be part of the supporters club. There was something for everyone.
Exactly.
And I thought we all came out to support one another. Okay, a little teasing and a little yabbing, but then it was fun. It brought us together. We met new people and all. So yeah, I feel that was one of the most remarkable moments in history, especially when we played against other teams that, you know, from other hostels, and then we teased their lives because they were in our biz. All right, so yeah, moving on, I'd like to ask you guys, some people stood out for me here, but I don't know if they did that for you. So I'll be starting with IEI. Who, I want you to tell me three people that you met that you feel stood out for you here, and you tell us why.
Okay, first, I think the very first person would be someone close by here.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, Conscience is, it sounds so weird, but I think the very first person I met when I came around was him. He came around to my room, found out, was like, he's looking for someone. And that was how we met. And we introduced ourselves. That was the starting point. And then he was this kind of person that was cool, you know, gentle and cool-headed. I had him speak with as a whole representative to one of to his what's it called, his
constituency.
You know, it was one of those memorable, and those guys actually gave him the audience, and it was cool. And her personality is the all governor. As much as possible, we have differences in difference. And most of the time, whenever we meet, he will be like, "Yeah, you're just one of those guys. Why are you always attacking the executive and myself?" Just be like, "Well, I'm just doing one of those things that I'm meant to be, just to put things in order." And as well, another personality I think I met is my roommate, who has been a wonderful friend, even though we don't talk a lot, but you know, he's this peaceful roommate wherein you can enjoy your privacy and the serenity of the house. So those are the three personality.
Okay, I need you to do something for me. So okay. Now you say, is Felix.
Okay, is Felix
Is Felix, like IS, is Felix.
Felix.
Yeah, it's Felix. Okay.
Okay, it's Felix.
She doesn't have to mention conscience.
Yeah, that I want to edit it out.
Why is we?
Because if he says conscience and he's talking about things you do, put it together.
But I want to say something. Since we are not mentioning our names, we are mentioning people. They can really trace it.
Not really. You don't get. We cannot mention our names here.
Okay.
But remarkable people. Okay, I love what you did with Hall Governor. You did not necessarily mention his name.
Okay.
Yeah, so something like that. But you could mention people's names. So far, they are not here and they are not members of AH Press.
Okay.
But if they are AH Press members, you could use their pen names if you know them.
The reason I used his pen name was the fact that you introduced him as someone close by here.
Yeah, so don't worry, I'll wait. That's why I said you say it's Felix.
All right.
So I'll just work on it.
Okay.
All right, so... moving
can
on,
we
I think
it to like one minute each, because I'm just thinking of how you're going to edit this to 15 minutes minutes.
I'm going to cut some things out.
All right. Because I'm sorry, podcast when they get like 20 minutes there.
We're going to end this one with these two. They will now record the last two topics as another episode.
Okay.
So it won't be overflowed. Okay, so yeah, I think we want to hear from a lady now. Flaming Pen. Who are the three most remarkable people you met here?
Okay. If I want to mention names, I think three will not be enough, because
exactly.
I understand the fact that people cannot be everything to you.
Yeah.
You have people that they've been there for you in your down times, and that doesn't mean really we are very, very, very close.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they really mean a lot to me, and I cannot pick out my journal about AH and their name won't reflect.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I won't be mentioning names, but I would just say that AH is a place I've experienced love in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm of the opinion that nobody owes me anything.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody owes me anything, no matter how close we are. In fact, I do say my parents don't owe me anything. They can choose to be responsible and they can choose to be irresponsible. But really, who wants their parents not to be responsible? So it comes from the point that whenever they do something, I tend to appreciate it a lot, because if they don't do it, there is nothing I can do to it. I can't push the strings. So to me, I've met a whole lot of people and they've really done a lot of things to me that really means a lot to me. And sometimes money cannot buy it. And coming from the point that the people that your friends serve have not even done some things. Oh, I had good friends in AH, really. I've met so amazing people. People that just walk up to me and I'm like, I don't know this face. And they just show up in times of needs, my roommates, and a whole lot of friends I've met. So this is just me saying a big shout out to all AH people.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are wonderful. Even to people that have not really impacted my life directly, I see what they are doing to others and I feel like, wow, I love the way this girl loved this other lady. I love the bond between this set of people. It ministers a lot to me. So this is just a big shout out to all AH people, to the press. I love and appreciate you all. Thank you.
Alright, thank you too. Okay, so I think I want to hear from Conscience now. Bearing the fact that he's Conscience, I'm very sure he'll tell us.
Alright, so I would want to even say that people that remarkable people have met in the hall, virtually everyone is remarkable in their own niche, in their own area. However, we could always say that some people stood out. As people are still standing out, and we hope that they will continue to stand out. First and foremost, one of the porters in the hall, a female porter in the hall, we call her Alaja. She actually stood out for me as somebody that's exceptional, you know, despite the fact that initially she was very, you know, she assisted me, she was very jovial, she was very understanding, you know, that really won my heart to the porters in the hall when I, you know, came in. So another person who I would say also stood out for me, it's people talk about their roommates. It's my roommate. My roommate has taught me patience, has taught me how to understand people, how to relate to people and all that. So that's, to me too, it's something that is remarkable in respect to relationship. And then the people in the press club, AAH Press, have also stood out to me. We have wonderful people, beautiful people in the press club, and I wouldn't want to offend some people by mentioning one name and other mentioning the other. So like I said initially, everybody in AAH have stood out and they're still standing out for me.
Okay, so like you said, I would like to start from where you stopped. I feel like what you all said is true. Everyone has stood out in one way or the other, but you know, some people were remarkable, like you just could notice them for whatever they had been doing and all. And I feel like it would not be fair if I don't say thank you to, you know, friends. I had met quite a lot of friends in this space, especially because I had this experience where every time I meet a new person and maybe we're working a bit, the person gets tired and the person's like, you're popular. So yeah, I had quite a number of, you know, people that I met here that made an impact. But first off, I would like to say thank you to my friends and my roommate especially. And then I would like to mention two people that I felt like, no, they caught my attention with, you know, their character, their personality and everything. First on my list is Chris. Chris, I noticed Chris I felt during the election time. That dude stood out and all. At first, I had this perception about him that, okay, he was loud and, you know, all those people that come to disturb and everything. But then I met him on a deeper level. Yeah, I saw some things he had done, some of his work, and I was wowed. I literally was impressed, and I could not have, you know, in my wildest dream, imagine that he had, you know, he was capable of those kind of things. So yeah, someone that really stood out for me was Chris. And I feel the second person that stood out for me with her personality is Quinnette. You know, Quinnette is always there. She's like a social butterfly. If you're in AAH and you do not know Quinnette, no, Quinnette is everywhere. She, you know, people know her. If you say, oh, let's plan this, she's there helping out. Let's do this. She's, you know, she's at the forefront and all. And I felt, yes, this is really what we need. People helping each other, you know, even when she doesn't know you and all, and she feels like, oh, she notices that you need her help or something, she's always there. And yes, those personalities, those traits stood out for me in Abubakar Absalom Hall. So, all right, over here, we will be wrapping up today. Thank you guys for listening to us. This is our very first episode, and do not forget, you have some major jobs to do for us, meaning you have to, you know, send us your feedback, you have to comment, you have to share, keep sharing with Abubakar Absalom people and even your friends that you know will be coming to you, right? Yeah, you never can tell who you will convince to come to Abubakar Absalom Hall. So from the AAH Press, we say bye.
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 Love you.
Bye.
Okay, so yeah, who will introduce us?
Aries.
You said all right. That is.
You have the floor.
Hello, beautiful people. How you doing? Hope you've had a very interesting day. Well, we are at the AAH Press Club, and this is a podcast for you. My name is Conscience, and I'm here with a wonderful set of people from the press club. Here I have
Duchess
and
Flamey Pen
and
IEI.
All right, so we have Duchess, Flamey Pen, and IEI. So today, our point of discussion is the recent actor strike. In fact, to shock you, NASU is also on strike. And then we have toxic workspaces to talk on. In case you are not aware, the NASU and ASU are on strike. we just want to give you a little tatafo. So why do you think ASUU is on strike?
Well, it's normal to think we're in Nigeria. So it's nothing new, so to say, as long as you've experienced the tertiary education in Nigeria. So you definitely must have a little or a tip of what ASUU strike is all about.
Okay, how about those people who never went to our kind of school? We all graduated. I finished from a government institution.
Okay.
So strike has been normalized.
Of course.
We have normalized strike in institutions of higher learning in Nigeria. But specifically, can we talk about why now ASUU is actually on strike? Yes, we know it has to do with money. IEI has given us a tip of the iceberg that, I mean, you cannot attend a public institution in Nigeria and not have an experience of strike. But what's your view, Flaming Pen? What do you think the government can do and ASUU to make sure that students' life are not just wasted?
Okay, like what I said was like is normal. Like it's really down on me because I also went to a government federal university, so I experienced like every session. Like I mean, as a fresher to a finalist, like there was strike. In fact, while I was doing my undergraduate projects, there was strike. Now, like postgraduate project, there is strike. So it's right. It's just a norm to us. But really, one thing about we Nigerians is we've learned how to adapt with everything. So to us, it seems like it's a normal thing. But trust me, it's abnormal. It's abnormal. So I think we still have to plead to the federal government as well as the ASUU too. I think this thing will still continue, and it will continue to be a norm if there is no concrete resolution. Because I think the old issue for this ASUU, the reason for the old strike, has always been the same reason. So it's just that when there was strike, they just meet and just the federal government will just promise them we'll still do this, we'll do that, and settle them partly. Then ASUU will agree to resume, and few months they are back to that same thing. Government, how far now? What's happening? So I think the thing, they still have to go to the old roots of the matter. I think the federal government can also complain that, see, this thing, we cannot do it. This, we can't do it. Let's agree on this. We don't want empty promises again. It's like they are, to me, it's like they are giving them hope that we'll do this. So when ASUU comes back, they should be like, okay, sir, see, we want to table our request to you again. But I think they just need to go back to the old root of the thing. What's the major issue? What do you guys want? Okay, we can do this. Let's take it. This, we cannot do it. If not, the strike will still continue and they won't stop it. And I think it's really something that is heartbreaking, really, considering the fact that 2020, we have the whole COVID lockdown. Before then, there was ASUU strike. And I remember when I wrote this, my MSc entrance exam, I wrote this November 2019, and here we are in 2022, like, I'm still doing that same MSc, and I'm sure that if I have my money and I've gone to a private university or I went outside the country, the MSc bad. So, but I'm still here because of Nigeria, but hopefully we pray that everything will be resolved soon. And I will say one thing as Nigerian students, so we should just stop complaining. We should just keep praying. I know people will say that, oh, we've always been praying for Nigeria. I still believe there is nothing God cannot do. There is no impossibility with God. We should just keep praying. And if there are things we can do as Nigerian students, I know NAS is doing that. They are meeting with the federal government too, and the ASUU. They just need to come together as one body. I know ASUU have, they will tell us that, okay, everything they are doing is for the students. They have an interest in mind. We said, celebrate you. We love you. And federal government, we are still your people, because I know that some of us still have people at the top officials, there, there are people you can talk to. We just want these things to be resolved soon. It goes beyond ending the strike. Now, what will happen 8 months later, 9 months later? We just need a lasting resolution. And I pray God will help us.
All right. Thank you very much, Flaming Pen. So we're moving on now to Duchess. So can you really tell us this strike?
Okay.
What is the effect? How has it affected students? What's the telling effect on students? You as a student, generally, you can speak generally. How? What's the effect on students?
Okay, so I'd like to speak from where my colleagues stopped. You know, I used to joke about the fact that I think ASUU's middle name is Strike. You know, because literally, okay, I'm trying to, you know, have a flashback from where I went to the university and everything, right from my undergrad level, like she said, right from my undergrad level to date, there has been strike back to back. We had, you know, times where you spent more than you emphasized that you would spend in school. And, you know, we are here again. We've been here since 2019, literally, and it took quite a number of time. It took quite a long time before they said, okay, resume. And even when they said resume, it was online lectures. We almost completed first semester before they said, oh yeah, everybody come for physical classes after first semester again. So that's been a lot. And then, you know, towards the end of last year, we're all feeling, oh, we're almost done with this program, thank God. And then all of a sudden, they pull up the stunt of ASUU strike. And I felt it affected some PG students in the sense that some were writing exams. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it cut them in between exams. For some of us, we were lucky. I think a few lecturers got the whiff of the old strike and all, and, you know, made us write exams earlier. But for the rest, they started writing it during exams. I think at a point they had to suspend some papers and maybe they wrote it in between and all. And for, you know, undergraduate students, now take for example, UI for instance, I remember that new intakes, you know, were admitted and, you know, they resumed, they had their matric and they literally sent them home maybe a day or two. In fact,
sorry, the matric, there was even strike on the matric. You just had to do the matric.
It was more like, oh, mom and dad come and celebrate with me and then pack my bag back home. So it was literally like that. So yeah, if people ask, they say, yeah, we're in school, but then literally you're not in school, you're home. And then I know of a few institutions, for instance, who have, you know, shut down schools and told their students to go home because they feel, oh, if you're with your guardians, if you're with your parents, you know, they will observe you, they will monitor you, won't have high cases of maybe, you know, crimes and the likes, drugs and the likes. But then, let's be honest, they say an idle mind is the devil's workshop. So if over time students don't get things to do, students will try to find things to do and it might not be, you know, positive things. So I feel like quickly the federal government and ASUU needs to resolve this so that students could get back to work.
All right, thank you very much for those beautiful contributions and comments. We are optimistic that this strike issue would be resolved once and for all so that students can get back to their life and start doing meaningful stuff. Moving on now, we want to talk about, you know, workplace, toxic workplaces. When we talk about toxic workplaces, you know, it could connote different things to different people. It could also be, different things to different people. So we want to get our opinions. What do you think of toxic workspaces? Sometimes some people say this boss is too overbearing, this boss is too demanding, he wants to enslave me, or he wants to enslave us. Some people sometimes, toxic workspace could mean sexual harassment. Toxic, that's a big elephant in the room. People rarely talk about it. Toxic workspaces could be maybe your closing time, your opening hours, traveling here and there. You don't have time for family, you don't have time for doing other stuff that you really want to do, but maybe because of the money, you just, you know, mellow, you just keep low and you keep pushing. So it could mean different things to different people. So right about now, we want to throw the door open for wonderful people in the press club to make their comments on what the pressure, what the toxic workspace means to them, and how we can. We're looking for panacea to all of this. So let's start with Flaming Pen. What do you think?
Okay, toxic workplace, toxic bosses. I think for me, the word toxic workplace, toxic bosses, anything that affects your mental health is toxic.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how much you are earning, emphasis on that. Because really, they could be paying you peanuts in some places. But when you look at other incentive and what you enjoy, you have this peace of mind, like, I'm happy working here. And we can come from the standpoint of people that volunteer to organization. Mm-hmm. Most of them don't have any money they're expecting at the end of the month. They are not earning anything, but they are doing it with joy, with their whole heart. And they are still happy with it. They are enjoying it. They are finding peace with it. Mm-hmm. So any place you are working and is affecting your mental health, you are not, that can even lead to depression, please. Use the door, just exist regardless of what will happen. See, once you have all it takes, you can always get another job. It might take time. I'm not telling you that when you leave that place today, tomorrow you are getting a new job, but no, your life matters to us. Once that affecting your mental health and you feel you are not okay, it might be your colleagues at work, it might be your bosses.
Sorry, Flamey Pen, can I just come in? When you say mental health, can you expatiate on what you mean mental health? What are the signs, what are the symptoms, what are the things that you see that you know, oh, this thing is really getting on me, or it's affecting my mental health? Do I run away? Do I stay? Do you know? Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Okay. Well, I would just say, when it comes to mental health, one thing you will notice is this lack of peace. Mm-hmm. You won't just have peace with what you are doing. And fear will even start to set in, although fear can be relative. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to mental health, you might just notice that, okay, I'm not just feeling the vibe of everything, you just the anxiety. Sometimes you'll not even be able to depict what exactly is wrong, but you just notice that I'm not having this peace. And sometimes it can even start, you start feeling like a sick person, and literally you are not sick. Yeah. If you go to the hospital for any medical test and nothing is wrong with you, but you just notice you are not just fine. You will just like, this piece is just not there. Please.
All right, thank you very much. May I just add, it could also be that sometimes you tend to forget things easily. Sometimes you become irrational. You're always shouting. You're always screaming. You always want to fight everybody. You always want to fight everybody. You know, so it's telling on you. It's taking its toll on you. So in essence, in addition to what you have said, that could also be like, guy, this place, you have to be careful. So we move on to Duchess. What do you think? You know, talking about toxic workspaces, what do you think, what does that mean to you?
Well, like you said earlier, you know, it could be sexual, it could be verbal, it could be physical, it could be anything. And I feel like I've had a taste of most. Yeah, so for most of us here, we've worked in one place or the other, so we've had something similar to an experience. But you know, if you're talking about sexual abuse and the likes from your bosses and sexual harassment, I've had a fair share of that from, you know, previous bosses that I've worked for. You know, imagine a scenario where you're anchoring a program and then you want to get something from the reception quickly, then go back, you know, to anchor your program, and then your boss is standing between the door and he literally wants you to pass in between him and the door. And then he's like, oh, okay, go ahead. And you're like, no, sir, you have to adjust for me to. Or he talks about, okay, so there was this day I talked about, you know, sexually sexual harassment from bosses, yeah, at workspaces and what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently my boss was listening. In fact, my boss was an inspiration because I knew quite a number of people he was harassing at work.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't directly come out to say, this is the person I'm talking about, but I handled it as a topic on air, and apparently he was listening. So he sent for me, and then he said, while still on air, he said, so do you mean if I literally hug you right now, it's an harassment? And I'm like, sir, if it's not with my consent, then it is an harassment. And you know, he made some black jokes that, but then he knew the boundaries, yeah. I feel like another thing is, you should be able to set boundaries at your workplace. So if we're talking about, you know, toxic environment could also be a place where, you know, you feel you're not creative enough. Imagine, you know, you're this person who knows how to contribute a lot in everything, and then along the line you feel curbed, you can't give your best, you know, you have to limit yourself, or even when you're not earning enough or something like that, the environment is literally toxic to your mental health and everything. So yeah, literally those are examples of toxic workspaces and environments.
All right, beautiful, wonderful comments. Yes, you know, importantly, we have made some progress in this talk, and we've come to learn that toxic workspaces do not necessarily mean chemicals that are toxic in the workspace that you know take in.
Mm-hmm.
It could be people's action, people's conduct, people's reaction, behavior, attitude towards you as an employer or as an employee.
Mm-hmm.
Some employees are also toxic, you know. So it's not just employer, employee. It could also be employee to an employer. Imagine you are a boss and you tell your employee to do something, and continuously, consistently, the employee keeps, you know, allowing the company or the firm to lose money constantly. You don't resume work on time for no good reason. You are drowned. You know, those things also affect the mental health of the employer. So it's both ways. We've also, you know, learned that, I mean, it could affect people. It could be sexual conduct. It could be
personal abuse.
It would affect your mental capacity to think. You can become irrational. You know, several things happen in the workplace that are toxic. So at this juncture, we want to move on to, you know, talking about panacea. How do we think? What can we do to, you know, manage it? We know we might not be able to completely 100% eradicate it, but what are some things as you as a lady or you as a guy you are to do to, you know, make sure that there are boundaries, to make sure that this thing is, you know, nipped in the bud? So I would move on to IEI to give us some great response to that. What do you think?
Okay. To me, well, a lot has been said as to the issue of toxic workplaces, but in order to possibly give panacea solutions to the issue on the ground, then one of the first thing that the basic foundation that needs to be set is the fact that work ethics and values needs to be set aright, because due to the fact that work ethics and values has been misplaced, a lot of things has actually derailed in the workplace, and that's why most of the time vices and illegal things and immoralities have been ongoing, which has been toxic for a lot of employees. And another thing is the fact that I feel could be a solution is the fact that there should be a limit to the number of working hours, because a lot of times many can't complain because of the country that we're in. You know, Nigeria is just one of those underdeveloped country, unlike the developed country wherein you work for the number of hours and then you're being paid for that. So you get to determine the number of hours you want to work, and then from there you set your limits. But here you don't, the limit is not there. You work for a basic of minimum of 8 hours, and then at the end of the month you get paid fixed amount. So that's one of the issues that's ongoing, and in order to set a solution for that, there should be a number of working hours at least let the employee give the number of hours they could work wherein they will be effective. And well, lastly, I would feel there should be an incentives, and then for incentives for overtime, and then in order to appreciate the works of you know, employees that are working under you, because in order to for them to work effectively, you need to at least appreciate them, because a lot of things has been ongoing where you even work effectively and then yet you get blamed for it. But in order for a solution and a panacea for toxic workplaces, I think incentives should be a priority for employees.
All right, so just a few seconds, we just want to get our opinion. What do we think can be solutions? What are our panacea to this big elephant in the room that is already talked about? So Flamey Pen, give your response, and just because we are actually out of time.
Okay, for me, like Dosha said earlier, we should learn to set boundaries at work. Okay, to me, I want us to set boundaries at work. Let work hours be work hours. And when it comes to relating with people, there are ways you relate to your colleagues at work. Okay, this is my work colleague. That does not mean that there cannot be relationship after working hours, but just setting these boundaries and learn how to speak up when you are noticing some strange signs. Know who to talk to, and if you notice that, okay, probably is even the old boss at the work that there is nobody to talk to, I think the best point is just take your leave, like I've said earlier. That's just me. Set boundaries, and when it's time to leave, I know you cannot cope with this again, for the sake of you and us that love you, please leave. Thank you.
All right, so so Judges is going to like wrap this up for us, so okay. Mic is over to you.
All right, so like she said, set boundaries. Aside from that, I would like to come from the female perspective. Yeah, when you notice you have an abusive boss, it could be abused sexually, you know, verbally and the likes, I feel like if you have opportunities to call out your boss. Yeah, so I read the post yesterday where someone said, oh, at a point, yeah, with the toxic environment at his working place, he felt he'd rather be jobless than remain in that kind of working space. So yes, sometimes you might not have a job right away, but then your mental health is key. You know, you did a lot to, you know, build yourself up to that point. Now imagine working in a place where someone makes you feel like you're trash every freaking day, day in, day out. No, that is not a good environment to stay in. So I'd advise that maybe if you have a better offer, you leave. But if not, if you feel you can't cope, I also advise you leave for the sake of your mental health. And then we have, you know, NGOs where you can report abusive and toxic bosses to. So yeah, call them out. I love the fact that quite a number of people called out companies yesterday. So yeah, call them out, you know, talk about their nature and everything, and maybe something will be done about it. Thank you so much, guys, for listening to today's episode. And from BH Press, we say
thank you very much. I'll see you sometime around.